You know, that was Aaron's first time singing with us. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Well, hello. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you know that I gave the message last week. Some of you don't, because it's common fact that when the pastor announces that she's not going to be in church on Sunday, there's a little bit of dip in attendance. I've had a couple people come up to me today and say, "Oh wow, you look really nice. That's a really nice shirt." If you're here on the regular, you know that I usually stand back here. I'm normally in a t-shirt and wearing jeans because I get really hot up here. I move around a lot and I start sweating like I am right now. And it's not just because I'm nervous. It's because it's hot. So a funny story, last week after church, we decided, my family and I, to go to Graffiti Junction for lunch. And so we were sitting in the back, and my kids ran over and saw somebody they recognized, and they're like, "Oh, hey, I'm not going to name any names." Well, they're not even here anyway, so they must have Facebook. They probably, Meryl's not back here. But anyway, we walked over to say hello, and they had that look on their face like, "Oh man, I wasn't in church." And so one of them says, "Oh, well, you know, we'll be back next week because Meryl will be back." And then she saw that I was wearing a nice shirt, and she's like, "Oh, wait a minute, you're not in your t-shirt. You gave the message, didn't you?" And so I thought it was funny. And so I decided to dress up today for the part. And then I found out yesterday that Heather was supposed to be leading music. I wasn't planning on doing both. And so we kind of scrambled things together, and so I apologize for having to move around so much this morning, and I appreciate your patience. And I'm so thankful that you came here today. If you weren't here last week, we spent some time talking about hindsight and how you need to be positioned right to have good hindsight. Now, hindsight is the perception or understanding of an event after it's already happened. Many people know that. But we talk about being able to use our hindsight to see God more clearly. Now, recently I heard an interesting talk about a concept called the hindsight window by Eric Ed Meads. And the hindsight window is actually the window of time between an event that you perceive to be bad at the time and a time sometime in the future that you see it as a symphony, as a blessing, something that you're grateful for. Now, this window of time can be long or it can be short, depending on which one is happening for you. That kind of determines how much happiness that you can experience. Now, has anybody ever experienced that, where something bad happened and then eventually you figure out, "Oh, wow, that was the best thing that ever happened to me"? Yeah, I can see the heads nodding. That is certainly true in my life. Now, he goes on to share an emotional formula that I thought was worth sharing. He says that, I don't want to get it wrong here, so he says that resentment and regret from the past equals fear in the future. However much resentment and regret that you hold on to from your past will show up for you as fear as you move forward in your future. Now, the opposite of that is however much gratitude you have about your past will show up as faith in your future. Now, the takeaway that I get from this is that if we're able to look at the pain and struggles that we've experienced in the past and recognize how God has brought us out of the darkness and into the light, which is healthy hindsight, then we're able to gain better insight into the character of God, fully experience His love and transformative power in the present, and use something called foresight to be better prepared to move forward in life with God leading the way. Now, many people think the word foresight simply means to make a prediction about the future. And in the religious world, it's not uncommon for the words foresight and prophecy to be interchanged. But foresight is more than just a prediction about the future, and it's more than just a divine revelation from God about something that's going to happen. Foresight is knowledge or sound judgment into a future event or need, and most successful businesses utilize foresight. I know Scott probably plans the year ahead and looks at numbers and thinks about past trends and what's going to be happening in the future. businesses do that. We do that here as a church. We have these planning meetings where we plan most of the year, maybe half a year at a time. We kind of look at what we're doing, and we ask questions like, what ministry has God used in the past? What's working now? How can we better engage the congregation in discipleship and serving? That's why we're bugging you with all of these Connect, Serve, Give, and Grow forms, hoping that that will be effective. Now, our faithful finance team makes use of foresight when they consider our yearly budget, right? The process of foresight can be developed through a combination of past experiences with similar situations, through current knowledge, and with intuition, or what we call in this building, inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Foresight goes beyond the average view of life. I found a really cool description of foresight in this quote from Forbes magazine. It's by Cecil Purr. I often think the gateway to foresight is to keep an open heart. If we could carry a heart large enough to love, to accept, and to care for life around us in all its detail, we would be proclaimed to see every instant as a gardener, never ceasing the discontinuity of our senses. We would underscore the act of attention in the experience of every instant, not frantically looking for cognitive, real evidence overriding consciousness, instead floating in a sincere freedom of time. That's powerful. The gateway to foresight is an open heart, large enough to love, to accept, and to care for life around us in all its detail. That sounds an awful lot like the way God loves his creation, the way that he loves you and me, and the way that we should live and love each other. The problem is that many times we can get caught up in the pain and hurts from our past, and we can't make sense out of how good things or bad things can happen to good people. Or we become totally consumed by our current situations, overwhelmed by hurt, stress, politics, you name it, the list is endless. Or sometimes, and this can actually be worse, we fail to give credit where credit is due. And we begin to think that our success simply happens because of our own great intellect and our own drive and commitment. And we're unable to see the work that God has done making a way for us. When we get caught up in this negative cycle of thinking, it's almost impossible to move forward with a clear vision of God. Now, today's scriptures that you heard the children read so beautifully, they both, or all of them, come from the amazing father-son duo of King David and his son, King Solomon. Both of these men had their own claims to fame, and they exercised a great deal of godly insight and foresight in their roles as leaders over the kingdom of Israel. King David was a musician, I love that, a poet, a mighty warrior, and a very successful king. Every step of the way, he leaned on God as his strength and redeemer. He was a man of prayer, and he loved to worship God. He wrote a majority of the Book of Psalms. He recognized God in every detail of his life, rising from humble roots as a shepherd boy, then becoming a mighty warrior, and eventually becoming king. We can hear his godly insight in the words from 1 Chronicles 29, when he says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth are yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom, right here. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. His past, his present, and his vision of the future were all intertwined with God's will." That kind of godly example must have had a great impact on his son Solomon. Now, King Solomon, many people believe that King Solomon was no older than 15 years old when he took the throne. 15 years old, and he's known as one of the wisest men who ever lived. Do you remember when you were 15 years old? I know it's harder for some of you. Some of us are closer to that age than others. And I fall into that category. But when I was 15, in my great wisdom, I was growing a mullet. So I'm just going to leave it right there. Anyway, although there are a lot of difficult things that Solomon had to clear up, you know, that's my excitement. If I had known then what I know now, maybe I would have just shaved my head right there. So, Solomon, when he takes over as king, there are some very difficult things that he has to do first. And if you're not a Bible reader, you have got to get into this story. It's in 1 Kings. And it reads loud. Are there any Game of Thrones fans out there? Yeah, it reads like a Game of Thrones episode. I've never seen the show, but I've heard about it. And he has to do some cleaning house. That's a really nice way to say it. But after all that, he starts his rule off right. After a night of intense worship, God visits Solomon in a dream. He asks, or he says, ask for whatever you want. Could you imagine God waking you up in the middle of the night and said, hey, ask for whatever you want? That's kind of like Aladdin in A Genie in the Lamp. Most people would ask, hey, I want to win the lotto, or hey, I want to live a long life, but Solomon doesn't ask for that. What Solomon says is this, God, you showed so much kindness to your servant, my father David, when he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and with a heart true to you. That's good hindsight. You've kept this great loyalty and kindness for him, and have now given him a son to sit on his throne. Some godly insight. And now, Lord my God, you have made me, your servant, king in my father David's place. But I'm young, and I'm inexperienced. I know next to nothing. But I'm here. I've showed up. I'm your servant. In the middle of the people you have chosen, a large population that can't be numbered or counted due to its vast size. Please, God, give your servant a discerning mind in order to govern your people and to distinguish good from evil. Because no one is able to govern this important people of yours without your help. Solomon recognized that all wisdom and knowledge come from God alone. Because he had the correct view of God in the past and the present, he realized that the strength and foresight that he needed to lead could only come from one place. So he asked God to be the author of his future. And in the end, King Solomon reigned as king over one of the highest and most prosperous periods in Israel's history. I want that to be your history. I want that for us as a church. Now, we have the great joy and benefit of having people from different generations at different stages of their faith journey attending church. Some of you have been following God for years with great hindsight, and you've been able to use God-inspired foresight to forge through life. Now, granted, age really has nothing to do with this. You could be sitting there and still struggle, however young or old you may be. But there are people in this community that can benefit from hearing some of your our faith warriors' stories. And if you haven't gotten out there and shared your story, that's hope for some people. Take the opportunity to share it with someone. Now, some of you may be in here and you may be thinking, hey, all that sounds great, sounds pretty cool, but, you know, I can see what God has done in my past. He's brought me through some pretty incredible circumstances, and he's blessed me with a job and a family, but something is still missing in my life. I know I need to make a change, but I can't seem to find any direction for the future. I need to find my calling. Well, we talked a little bit earlier about King David. When he was a young boy tending sheep for his father, being the king of Israel was the furthest thing from his mind. I don't even think it was on his radar. Sure, he may have had dreams of playing his music for a larger audience than the sheep, his brothers, but he served faithfully in the job he was doing. What set David apart from the rest of the crowd is that he had a heart that was passionate for the Lord. And in God's time, he didn't run out and find his calling. His calling came and found him. That's what happens when our vision of the future begins with the realization that God is in control. So be encouraged if you're struggling with that. You probably don't have a foresight problem. You might have a patience problem. But keep moving forward and looking for God in the places he has you now. How can you glorify him there? And keep your eyes open for opportunities that excite your passion. And after praying and talking to some people that you trust, your pastor would be a good one. Don't be afraid to make a change. Move where God is leading you. Our goal last week was to take a look at some of the moments from our past and remember or even realize for the first time how God carried us through some of our most difficult circumstances. Friends, when we make sense of the past through eyes of faith and see the mercy, grace, and love God has provided for all of us, we're then equipped to move forward, planning for the future with our Savior leading the way. So my prayer and challenge for all of us this week is to not only recognize what God has done for you in the past, but also let's allow God to lead us in every detail of our lives in the future. Amen.